Today's Daily DVR is brought to you by our presenting sponsor, Cufflinks.com. Cufflinks.com wants to encourage you to elevate your look when you get dressed in the morning. It helps you to feel more confident and create that individual look, and that's what it's all about, baby. Stand out. Be you. Cufflinks.com carries over 58 brands, including Hook & Albert, Ox & Bull, and of course, their own Cufflinks brand. So whether it's Cufflinks, tie bars and clips, stud sets, ties, men's bracelets, pocket squares, socks, lapel pins, messenger bags and tote bags, money clips, and so much more, all emblazoned with your favorite TV show, movie, like Game of Thrones, Star Wars, Marvel, DC Comics, and they got all the sports, NCAA, NBA, NFL. Who says you can't geek out over your favorite TV show, movie, or sports team and still look sharp? Nobody, baby. Do it today. Go to Cufflinks.com and check out their amazing array of products. And all November, celebrate the big guy. It's Mickey Mouse's 90th birthday. Can you believe that little mouse is 90 years old? It's November 18th, in case you're sending a card. Use code DISNEY30, get 30% off of all Disney products. The sale covers the whole month of November. That's Disney30 to get 30% off of all Disney products at Cufflinks.com. So look sharp, be you. Go to Cufflinks.com today. Now on to the show. Today is Monday, November 5th, 2018, and this is Daily DVR. All right, everybody, welcome back. Hope you had a great weekend. I know I did. Watched some football, watched some TV, spent some great time with my family. I was actually want to give a shout out to Stickman Brewing Company here in Oregon. I visited their Tualatin Pizza place. I'll be honest, my brother-in-law works there. He's the brewer guy. But it was the best pizza I've had since I left New York. It was really good. They fire it right up in front of you in this oven. They've got great beers. And we all hung out. We had a great time. It was a lot of fun. So I also was checking out. There was a lot of news this weekend, and we will get to that. I just do want to remind you, check us out. That's the DVR Podcast Network at dvrpodcast.com. You can get this show 5 days a week ad-free if you become a patron. That's patreon.com/DVR. I'm doing shows on Tuesday and Thursday that are Patreon only. And those are a little bit more loose shows. I do a little variety of stuff. But hey, stick with us for free. You get the Cufflinks goodness, and it's all good, baby. But if you like, go to Patreon and you can support the show for little as $3 a month. Also, you know what? Your feedback really does power the show, and I'm going to be covering the Mayans a little bit later on, and I've got feedback from Jenny, and I appreciate that. You can email me at dvrpodcast@gmail.com. So let's do this. Let's jump on into it. Like I said, I got some feedback from Andy and from Jenny. The Jenny feedback I'm going to keep for the Mayans part, and Andy, I'm going to cover tomorrow, where I'm actually going to talk a little bit about how you can start your own podcast. He had a question about that. What are some hints and tips I have towards if you want to start a podcast, kind of getting over the hump, and I'm going to cover that tomorrow. So I appreciate that Andy sent that. I'll do that on the Patreon show. But the big news, I think, kind of in the TV world over the weekend was The Walking Dead. So spoilers for last night's Walking Dead. I'm going to discuss this for about 5 or so minutes because it's pretty interesting, actually. And I've got to say, I wasn't expecting much out of this, okay? I've been a Walking Dead fan since the show came out. I read a little bit of the comic books before. I'm a comic book fan, and I loved the art. I liked the way it just really looked interesting to me and very expressive. That's the one thing about the Walking Dead comic book is the faces were always so expressive. And now there's a new artist working on it, but that's part of my story because I knew that Rick was leaving, and this show has had its issues. I don't need to get into them. There's entire, I think Bald Move did like three seasons of hate watching The Walking Dead. I'm not just them. I'm not point. Other people have done it too. You know, it's had its share of ups and downs. I find it to be an extremely well-produced show. I love the company that they have. I love the professionalism, but the writing is so cyclical. And the same thing happens over and over and over again. And it's every time, you know, are we going to be the zombies or are we going to be the humans? Okay, we get it. I get it. I want to see more. And I can't believe that it seems like they're actually going to give it to us. I guess I taped last week's show and my wife and I didn't watch it. We usually watch The Walking Dead the night it premieres. We've been doing that for 8 seasons, however many seasons it is. It's like appointment television. It still is. And we complain or whatever, but we enjoy it. And it's about as scary a show as she can take. So that kind of, you know, she likes to be a little scared. It's Sunday night, you know, it's kind of fun. But last week, we were just kind of like both out of it a little bit. Okay, Rick's leaving. They made such a big deal out of it. And then it was happening last night. And we said, let's just do it. Let's watch both episodes. So we watched both episodes. Not bad. I liked the simplicity of it. I have to say, these last two Rick episodes, which obviously they're not really, I kind of think had a simple tone to them. But on before watching either of them on Saturday, I tweeted, and I know I'm not the only one who got this, but I tweeted, my exact tweet was, I know no spoilers, but I'm going to guess that Rick doesn't die. He gets on that helicopter. And the reason why I thought that was because I am one of the people who always remembers and always brings up anytime I talk about The Walking Dead, the freaking helicopter that flies over Rick in the very first episode as he's riding the horse. He looks up, the helicopter goes, it cuts to commercial. We've recently seen the helicopter a couple times. It's popped up here and there. So it's as if that helicopter is intrinsically connected to the character of Rick. It's like they planned it from the beginning. Now I come to read, there's a great article on Hollywood Reporter called Walking Dead Expansion Plans Revealed, Andrew Lincoln to lead 3 AMC movies. I'm kind of burying the lead on that, but that is what happened. Rick goes off in the helicopter. He doesn't die. Basically, I said to my wife, as we are watching we're about halfway through the second episode, the second to last episode, which, like I said, I had not even seen when I predicted that. I'm such a great predictor, which I'm not. And I paused the TV for a second. I was like, nah, I won't say it. And she was like, okay, don't say it. And I just knew. They kept on going back to the garbage lady. Obviously, she wasn't going to kill the priest guy, and she needed another person, was part of the deal to get her on the helicopter, and the whole thing was basically they were basically pushing Rick to her. That was the whole final episode after he gets injured. I knew it. I just know, okay, he just has to keep on going until he meets up with the garbage lady so he can get on the helicopter. That's what happened. Now, long story short, I think that that's okay. They've revealed plans that they've signed all the people to multi-year contracts. I've talked about it before that they were going to do movies. Now I understand how they're going to do movies because it's going to be Rick's story told in movies, so he only has to be in Atlanta for 2 months a year, not 9. He can live his life. He can continue to be Rick, who really is the heart of the show. And they jump forward about 6 or 7 years, and you see Judith, little shit kicker as she's called, and she's grown a little bit more grown up. A new group of survivors. We see one of the gentlemen, the kind of bigger guy with a little bit of a beard. He is a good character actor. I've seen him before on a bunch of stuff. He's like Josh, what's his name? Josh Gad. He's like his twin or something. And I'm actually excited. I'm actually excited about The Walking Dead. I think that they made the right choice here. I really do. I think that this is, I'm surprised. It's a little cheap, of course. The Walking Dead's always cheap. So I didn't expect him to die. So I'm not disappointed by that. I know some people feel bamboozled by a TV show or something. I really don't. I mean, they can do whatever they want, you know? He could have gone into outer space and I might have thought that was cool. I'm a fan when something different happens. So this is pretty cool. I actually think my wife watched the preview for next week or the next couple episodes. I didn't. And she said, "You're going to like it. You're back on the Walking Dead bandwagon." And I said, "What?" And she said, "Trust me, I think you're really going to like it. Because I know that you wanted it to be different and I know what you like." And I hope that she's right. I like Rick. I'll watch three movies that they show as specials, you know? Now, there's talk here that they're looking for a partner. So is this going to be kind of a Netflix AMC thing? AMC is notoriously, they've got short arms and deep pockets. That's how it's said in the Wu-Tang universe, but it's true. They have money, but they don't spend it. And they like to team up. You see, The Terror is a co-production. All of the Little Drummer Girl. They've done a couple other, what they did, another Le Carre one that was a co-production. So a co-production with who? I'm thinking it's either going to be Netflix or Amazon. And I think that's kind of cool. They premiere on both at the same time. It's kind of appointment TV, and, you know, maybe on the holidays or something like that, we get a Rick Grimes movie and where Rick went, you know, where did he go? I hope that he went to a new place that has like electricity and technology and they move up instead of constantly finding people who are crazier than them. I'd like to see them find people who actually figured it out by now. You know, because it's years after, and especially if it's 6, 7, 8 years after that. So I'm excited. I really am. I think this sounds cool. I like the way they brought in new people. I like the time jump. If Daryl is going to take more of a centralized role, I actually thought that his talk that he had with Rick while they were stuck in that hole, which was so metaphoric, and Walking Dead sometimes just takes it too far. The conversation, actually, I think Daryl held his own, and that was one of the best little scenes with him in a couple seasons. So I'm actually excited about Daryl taking a larger role. I can't believe I'm saying it. I'm actually excited about The Walking Dead. What are you going to do? Now, over the weekend, we had a big movie premiere. And that was Bohemian Rhapsody. It made a ton of money and everyone was surprised. And now there's a bunch of articles going around the Twitter and the internet about how it was kind of a more sanitized PG-13 version of this. You know, that Sacha Baron Cohen was originally signed on and it was going to be a very rated R, more like The Doors type of thing where it was going to get a lot into Freddie Mercury's sexuality, drug use, different adventures that they had. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I love Rami Malek. It looks like he did a really great job in this. This is for a different audience, and I'm okay with that. I really am. One day, will they make a movie like that? Sure. They might even have to do what they did with Kurt Cobain and make a movie about a guy who's kind of like Freddie Mercury, you know? And that's fine with me. I'm cool with that too. Sometimes those movies are better than the ones where they get permission from everyone and they tell the real story. So I'm not sore at this movie. Good for this movie. You know, certain things were played up, certain things were played down. I haven't seen it, so I can't comment. But it's always kind of surprising to me that a movie like this even does well. I sometimes think, do kids today even know who Queen is, who Freddie Mercury is? So if this introduces a wider audience to their music, they're going to discover about him, you know? So I kind of try, I just had a different opinion on it, so I wanted to express it. But I actually think it's kind of cool that they are able to have a wide release of a film like this. A little bit more news. ABC orders a full season of The Rookie. ABC has handed out an order for 7 additional episodes of its new cop dramedy, The Rookie, with Nathan Fillion. It's doing good in the ratings. And like Single Parents, another show that I've enjoyed this season, those are probably my 2 shows that I like of the fall TV season. They've scored full season orders from ABC. So has A Million Little Things. I have not watched that. I don't think I will. But if anyone is, tell me. Do you like it? Maybe I should, you know? I'm always looking for that parenthood filler. A Million Little Things seems a little bit more like a 30-something, though. Less than a parenthood, but that's a distinction. But I'm very glad to see that The Rookie has scored a full season order, because I actually like this show, and I think it's good. And I think it's stretching Nathan Fillion more so than Castle did, which was fun, but I could never really get into it. And I think this guy can do more. Just a little shout out for the kids out there. Netflix has hired Academy Award winning filmmaker Chris Williams, who made Moana and Big Hero 6, to make his solo directing debut on the film Jacob and the Sea Beast. Penned by Williams, The Grand High Adventure tells the tale of an epic story of a charming seafarer who sails into uncharted waters and discovers an unlikely ally in a beautiful mythical sea creature whom he must protect from ancient hunters. I think this is great. Once again, Netflix doing all different types of stuff. This is going to be something that I know my son will like. And I like that Netflix puts as much energy into these kids' shows as they do the adult shows. They really do. Every other week, there's a great new show. That one I was telling you about last week, when they're like robot people and they're in an arena. He loved that. And there was some movie that came. He loves this stuff. So go Netflix. Okay. Got a couple different Star Wars news for you. Yeah, baby. Star Wars, Star Wars. I'm getting excited now, I have to say, because December is going to be Star Wars month. Cufflinks.com is doing a great Star Wars sale, and I'm going to be getting into Star Wars. I'm going to have some guests on. I'm excited. Star Wars. So anyway, there was Adam Driver provided a small tease for episode 9, hinting at big plans for Kylo Ren. Okay, so in an interview with Vulture, Driver was asked what he finds the most interesting about playing Kylo. His response is cryptic, but intriguing. That's hard to say because we're working towards something in particular with that character. I don't want to give anything away. That's kind of fun. Now, I don't want to report on every single or talk about every single little thing that happens, but I thought that this was fun because, like in this article on Screen Rant, kind of goes into it. Considering this movie aims to end the Skywalker saga, the implication isn't too surprising. Maybe it's going to be that he's going to die, Kylo's going to go down or something. I don't know. I find Kylo Ren to be an extremely interesting character, and I have to say that there were still tons and tons of kids on Halloween dressed as Kylo Ren. And it's very weird because when I dressed as Darth Vader, right, when I was a kid, or my brother did, I was always like Yoda or Luke. I was Yoda a couple of years. And then I think I was maybe Han or Luke. I don't know. I was always into the Force elements and the kind of, you know, that mystical element of it. And my brother loved Darth Vader. But Darth Vader was like kind of like faceless evil, you know? Kylo Ren is like this emo, and like he wants to love Rey. It's a deep, weird character. So I don't know. This kind of interests me. I don't think that Kylo Ren's. I see Kylo Ren figuring himself out. I really do. I kind of feel like he's that, you know, he's just like a really, really awful teenager. Really awful. Really, really awful. Now, there's another thing on Screen Rant. Star Wars 9 rumor suggests Matt Smith is young Palpatine. That could be cool. That's all right. I think that could be fun. And I think that if they go back and show that and kind of explain, you know, the whole what the arrangement was and how the kind of dark side continued after what we saw when Palpatine died, supposedly, if I don't know, of all the weird stories of, you know, the, what's it called now, Star Wars Legends. But I like Matt Smith doing that. I think he could be good in that. I think that he was good as Doctor Who. I liked him. But I also think that he could be kind of, I like him as an evil guy, as a bad guy. So that's fun. All right, so final little piece of news that I have today. It was a fun weekend. Avatar has been announced. Wait a second. Not just Avatar sequel, not Avatar 2, but Avatar 2, 3, 4, and 5. So there are now 4 sequels on Avatar, and they are called Avatar, The Way of Water, Avatar, The Seed Bearer, Avatar, The Tulkum Rider, and Avatar, The Quest for Iwa. They're going to be released in December 18th, 2020, December 17th, 2021, December 20th, 2024, December 19th, 2025. Okay, just to recap, it's 2018. So, over 7 years, they're going to release 4 more Avatars. Now, I said on Twitter, and I was just kind of joking around, you know, is anybody really looking forward to 4 more Avatar movies? I got a couple responses. Newbie Dews responded to me and said, never really connected with the characters in the original. I agree with that. That was a problem for me. Andy had a better response. He was kind of like, you know what? James Cameron hasn't really let me down, so I'm excited. I agree with both of those. Maybe it's going to take that. Maybe it's going to take 4 movies for me to get to care a little bit more about the characters. I guess Avatar was such a big deal. It's hard to remember and it's hard to comprehend how huge that movie was, wherein at the same time, so many people were saying, yeah, it's not that great, but went to see it 100 times in the movie theater for the experience. And I don't know if I can remember. That's interesting that Cameron is so interested in that experience, right? And in the 3D of it and going to the theater and experiencing it with people. And it actually has a great message, Avatar. It's a great conservationist, environmentalist, you know, anti-corporate misuse of people in the environment. It's really a wonderful story, but it just didn't grab me and it became a thing upon a thing upon a thing. And it's like the only thing James Cameron's doing. So I guess I'm on 2 sides of this. And I am a little bit more interested now. And I've read a little bit more into it. Because I love the idea of sci-fi worlds. And I was impressed by Avatar and the world it created. So don't know whether I'm down for like 4 more of them. Maybe it's kind of funny at this time that for once the technology has outpaced Cameron. He's not the one pushing it. Like by this point, he would have been better off to partner with Netflix or Amazon, and they would have paid for a lot of this, and he could have done an Avatar series and movies and really created a deeper universe than what just five movies are going to be. Because in today's day and age, when you just say, oh, it's going to be five movies, so many people have done that, right? It sounds like, what is it, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, or this one or that one, right? It's just another series of movies. But the ones that kind of are really getting deeper are like these DC and Marvel and Game of Thrones now trying to do all these different sequels and prequels and different stories that come off of the stories, the world building. So I think actually I want to give a shout out, of course, to Justin. It was a great show on Friday. If you haven't listened to it, we really got deep into talking about TV, and it was a lot of fun, a lot of fun. Go back and listen to that. But I think at some point we're going to talk about world building and how you do that. And Avatar is a very interesting world building point there, because are they doing it the right way? So we'll see. All right, I got a couple. I want to just check the Metacritic calendar and Just Watch. Then we're going to get into some mini reviews on my deep dive on Mayans. But first, I want to take a little break here to hear from our friends again at cufflinks.com. All right, cufflinks.com. You heard it before. You'll hear it again. Go over to cufflinks.com. All November, celebrate the big guy, Mickey Mouse's 90th birthday. It's November 18th. So we're going to on November 18th, we'll say happy birthday to Mickey. You know, I'm a big fan of the Mixter, and I want to say Mushka Mishka Mickey Mouse. Lachlan loves the Mickey Mouse shows. He absolutely loves them. He still loves them. Sometimes he feels like some other things he's a little too old for now, but Mickey Mouse, I will hear him cracking up in the other room. There's just something universal about it. So use code Disney30. Get 30% off of all the Disney products that they have over there on cufflinks.com. Tie bars and clips, stud sets, ties, men's bracelets, pocket squares, socks, lapel pins, messenger bags, tote bags, money clips. Now, these are men's products at cufflinks.com, but the ladies, take a look. You might like some of the stuff, and it might give you some ideas for a man in your life, what he might like. Cufflinks has got it for you. A lot of great stuff. Who says you can't geek out over your favorite TV show, movie, or sports team and still look sharp? Because you can. You got to represent. How cool is that when you wear that hand of the king? You know what I'm talking about. I'm wearing one right now. From now on, every time I podcast, I wear the hand of the king, because that's how cufflinks.com makes me feel, like a king, baby. Go to cufflinks.com, try out their amazing array of products. All November, Mickey Mouse, use code Disney30, get 30% off all of Disney products. Go to cufflinks.com today. All right, we're back. Let's check out Just Watch and let's see. We got, is anything great new streaming over the weekend? Well, we had a lot of things, like I said on Friday, House of Cards, the Orson Welles movie, the Orson Welles doc, really fantastic stuff dropped on Friday. And actually, all Amazon re-upped on a lot of the James Bond movies. And a favorite of mine, two actually favorite movies of mine dropped on Amazon. Barry Lyndon, if you haven't seen it, Stanley Kubrick, check it out. And Jeremiah Johnson, which is a great old Robert Redford movie. Love that. So some cool stuff dropped over the weekend. Today, not a ton of stuff. There's kind of a funny John Leguizamo's Latin History for Morons. Leguizamo is such a New York guy. I love this dude. It's his one-man Broadway show. It dropped on Netflix today. I'm probably going to check out a little bit of that. I love that dude. He reminds me of where I'm from. And on Amazon, two great films. Mean Streets, Scorsese's, not really his first, but his first that got him on the map. And one of the greatest kind of neo-noir strange films with Donald Sutherland and Jane Fonda, Clute, directed by the great Alan J. Pakula. I can never pronounce his name right. Clute, that is fantastic. I remember watching that in my film noir class back at Rutgers. That was really cool. As far as tonight goes on the Metacritic premiere calendar, not much. Not much at all is really premiering tonight. And as far as what I'm recording, really the only thing I got going on tonight is 9-1-1. Monday is a wasteland now, waiting for The Bachelor to come back. We'll see, but I'm still rocking 9-1-1. I like that show. My man Peter Krause and the addition of Jennifer Love Hewitt has actually not been bad. I'll admit it. Jennifer Love Hewitt has not been bad. So let's jump into, I got three, well, actually I did The Walking Dead in the beginning, so two mini reviews and then I'll get into Mayans. So I did watch the first four episodes of Bodyguard on Netflix. This was, of course, the BBC show that Netflix is now showing. And like I predicted, everyone here is going to think it's a Netflix show because when you watch it here, it does not say the BBC and Netflix present. It says a Netflix original show, Bodyguard. And then it starts, right? So everybody here in America is going to think that it is a Netflix original show starring my man and your man, Mr. Rob Stark, Richard Madden. This show was suggested by our friends in the UK, Tarek and Gareth, and guess what? They were right. This is awesome. I will delve deeper into Bodyguard when I finish it. It is fantastic. Richard Madden is fantastic. It starts and doesn't stop. You know I love propulsive stuff. This is propulsive without being crazy, though it has elements of a little bit of the 24 type stuff happening here and there, Homeland, I would describe, but it seems much tighter. There's not 50 B plots that they're going down. Everything is pretty much about the main story. It's surprising. It's got a lot of shocks in it. It's got twists. It's shot incredibly well. The lighting is moody and atmospheric. Everything somehow takes place near, I guess that's the River Thames. Is that how you pronounce it? I said that to my wife. I was like, one thing about this show and kind of all these BBC shows, it's like they always have something is next to the river, right? Like somebody's apartment, like in Luther, he's always looking at the river. Love that river, right? But anyway, I love Bodyguard. Everybody was right about it. Go and watch it. It's super fun. It's only six episodes. There's two episodes left, and I'm not sure how they're going to wrap it up. I just hope it continues. And I'd have to say, I told you I would reserve judgment on Richard Madden as James Bond. But if they make him James Bond, I'm all about it. I think he could do it. He is great in this show. I hadn't seen him in too many other things. I think he was in a movie. Oh no, that was Kit Harington, who was in the MI6 movie. The show they call Spooks in England or the UK. I think that may have been Kit Harington. I'm not sure. But I don't know what else I've seen Richard Madden in besides Game of Thrones. And I was pleasantly surprised here. So rocked it out. Go watch Bodyguard. My wife and I finally finished The Haunting of Hill House on, what was it? I think on Friday night. And amazing. Amazing. It was beautiful. I was in tears. I was scared, amazed, on the edge of my seat. I can't say how much I love The Haunting of Hill House. If you have not watched it yet, watch it, binge it. I've told a couple people, everybody I've told about it has watched it and loved it. It's so much fun. And I'm definitely, over the next couple weeks, I'm getting more scheduled with the show. And I'm going to do an episode where I just cover episode 6 of The Haunting of Hill House. And I'm looking to try to bring someone on to talk about Hill House with me. I think with these streaming things, when they're done, it's best to kind of discuss it with someone. So I'm going to try to convince someone to come and talk to me about The Haunting of Hill House, but I'm definitely going to delve into episode 6, which was a special episode, and I really appreciate it on many different levels. So that's it for my kind of mini reviews. Now I want to jump into the Mayans. I gave the Mayans theme song another listen. I still don't like it. I still don't think the song, the music is, you know, it just doesn't get me like riding through this world. It just kind of, you know? But the lyrics are really good, and they're really about, you know, the border and Mexico and United States. And I hadn't really listened that much to the lyrics. I wanted to start out with that because I've been complaining about this song. And I thought, you know what? I keep on complaining. Let me give it another shot. And I sat and I listened to it. It's a little draggy and long too. But then again, everything about the Mayans is long. This episode was an hour and 37 minutes long. You know, I have to say, I do wish that they would tighten them up a little bit because it's getting to be a bit much. That's my main complaint I'm going to have. But the last two episodes of the Mayans have given me what I wanted. And I'm going to go over, Jenny did a really good job of kind of rehashing the episode. So I'm going to read her notes and go along with it. So this is episode 8, The Snake. So we only got two more episodes left, right? So, this was episode 9. I'm wrong. Look at that. See, I'm looking at my notes now. I'm realizing this was episode 9. So only one more episode left. They did a really good job. They did a really good job last two episodes. So let's jump into Jenny. I agree with you that the last episode is really good. I did think of something while they were showing the previously on. You had said something about the info given to Emily and that it gave Easy away. It did give him away to her, but I don't believe it said his name anywhere. I seem to remember thinking at the time that she would definitely know it was him because she was communicating with him at that time, and whatever it said made it obvious that it was him. But I don't recall it stating his name. I could be wrong, though. My point, though, is that even if Miguel got that info as well, without a name, he may well not have known it was Easy specifically. You're right about that, and they were weird about that. It didn't say his name. It was redacted. It was from... She was able to ascertain because there was a specific instance that he and she shared. In one of their brief scenes, they made reference to it. That was made reference to in the notes. And I think that it was also because of his past. So you're right about that. And then you wrote this before you saw it in the show. But then she has the conversation with Easy about that. And she assures him she's not going to tell anyone. But she also says, you know, if what you're doing affects my family, you're done for. So she does lay the line there, which I thought was really interesting. That was one of the most interesting points of this episode, Jenny, to me, was that instead they are not going in the direction that it seems to me that Easy and Emily are going to get back together in any way. As a matter of fact, that little flirtation that they had, and I think they may have shared a little bit of a kiss or something. I think Easy is turned off by her and her turn towards this family. And I think that that's pretty cool. I like that. And it showed me something about Easy, right? So I like that. Okay, she continues. So who's the cop that wants to help Easy and Angel? Awfully convenient for them, though, huh? Of course, Potter is involved. Why does he keep using the phrase over the last few episodes, beautiful mind? Dude still gives me the creeps. Yeah, so the cop that was going to not get them arrested for having a body in the trunk, I guess it's just like a friend of the crew. It seems like all these biker gangs have friends in the cop side. And I think that's kind of true in real life, too, you know? Just as, you know, when you're in that world, whether you're good or you're bad, you're in that world. It's kind of like the Heat, the Nero thing, right? You're still in that world. Sometimes the good or the bad just switches sides. And yeah, Lincoln Potter is great, and I'm enjoying him a lot. But that beautiful mind thing, it seems as if they're trying to tell us over and over again that Easy has this mind, right? It's like the only thing we know about him. And I find that to be a little bit of a crutch. So even him saying that again and again is like a crutch. Like, okay, we're having a hard time showing you who Easy is because he's such a quiet character. So we're just going to keep on telling you that he can remember everything, you know? So Jenny continues, not really surprised that Lincoln used the opportunity of the dead body to his advantage and basically made Angel turn on the MC and caused the problems with Easy. I'm not surprised either, because if you remember from Sons of Anarchy, he was similarly willing to pit people against each other. And just to jump ahead, when we get to the end of the episode, that now basically Lincoln has tasked Angel and Easy with killing their own cousin, that was a turn that I didn't know about. Okay. I don't know. It was really, really strange. That was strange. And the snake in this episode was kind of cool because the snake ate the rat, right? From the last episode, you know, so now we are these kind of animal imagery is working in on each other in each episode. The scene with Felipe and Angel, how sad was that? Especially with the consideration of Angel not really being Felipe's son. Yeah, see, Jenny has this thing, and I said this off the cuff and she reminded me, that Miguel's missing brother maybe made me believe you might be right about Angel being his missing brother. I don't know if I remember saying that. You may have said that. I don't remember. But this was good. You had this in your notes. But then I think by the end of the episode, we find out that Miguel's brother really did slowly die from pneumonia. So the trick that was played wasn't that Miguel's brother is alive. The trick was that they used that story to trick him. And I was correct about that. Now, I did say that earlier, that I thought that Miguel's brother actually did die of pneumonia and that his mother and his consigliere were basically reframing the story to get him to try to sacrifice his own son, which in the end leads to what we've seen, which that guy is dead now, and he lets Abuelita kill him. So that part did wear out. And I like that part of it. The DEA guy's unable to access stuff related to the club, another snake. I thought that the DEA guys not being able to access the information and being cut off from the investigation shows that Lincoln is working for maybe somebody bigger, right? Like the same way that now Lincoln sees the rebels as being more of a threat to him than the cartels, which seems strange, but I kind of bought it. But now that little scene that you point out here, when the DEA guys are like, oh, we can't get, I tried to bring up information, but we're locked out of it now. There's like I feel like that Sutter might be getting into kind of, remember there was this program called Fast and Furious on the border, and there was from the political sides, people were saying that, oh, the Democrats and the Republicans. But anyway, what it illustrated was that sometimes the government helps certain bad guys, right? And against other bad guys. And we know about this. And when you look at the world, and in the confines of the show, I wonder if that's really what, how deep is Sutter going to go? Because with our current political state and everybody being into conspiracies and this and that, it could maybe be interesting that this goes to higher levels and we get even weirder kind of people coming in from the government that are letting Lincoln do this, and that this program of basically hiring out, is it kind of becoming like an Iran-Contra type of thing where the MC is going to become the MC is being set up as the, you know, the workhorse of the cartels and this new agreement with Abuelita, right? Is the government trying to make the MC into what they were previously? Like, that's kind of funny, okay? The cartels want to lift the MC up and make them, like Miguel said to them, you're going to be the big guys now. You're going to be the distributors, right? Like, no more of this fighting in the grass. That's kind of what Abuelita's group is going to be. They're the secret warriors. But the government wants to bring the MC back to that. Like, they kind of want to take over Easy and Angel and turn them into a bunch of hitmen for the government, like hired tough guys. So it's very interesting the way that even the deals that are going on, the MC is being used, and it's actually the cartels that want to kind of lift them up out of that thing and even try to kind of make them more legit in a sense, right? Weird. She says, what's with the cousin thing in this show? The stupid DEA guy is Easy's cousin. And then how about he goes back and apologizes to everybody? Hey, I'm sorry I acted like that. I really lost it. It's like, yeah, I think you did really lose it. That was insane. like yelling at me. He's like, I disgraced the DEA. He's like, dude, yeah, you got fired. He goes back. His office has been ransacked by who? That was weird. That whole thing. There's still things that happen in this show that I don't figure out until I just let it go. That was weird. Yeah, there are a lot of cousins. Marcus is Bishop's cousin. Yeah, keep it. It's family. I think that is what it is. I think that's on purpose, Jenny. And I think that's like a lot of stuff in Sons of Anarchy with the MC, you were never sure when someone was saying brother or cousin, if they really were. So I think it's just really about family, you know? Why did the cousin stop to see Felipe? That was slightly odd. I agree. Then Emily and Easy and the Beautiful Mind comment, and she says to me, there's zero chemistry between them. I find the same thing. I don't really see. And I like that they're not going down that road. You mentioned Angel and Adelita acknowledging one another and their roles in the whole mess. That was cool that they had the meeting and nobody outed Angel. It didn't, you know, I was worried that they were going to get it from. Everything worked out weirdly. You know, this episode, they shook everything out, right? The bishop dies. Abuelita or Adelita is now got her deal strengthened with the cartel. The cartel and Miguel has come out and told everybody about how the government thinks they're working for them, but they're doing something different. So this episode, as you say, it tied things together because it's been pretty far flung this season, but it's just been so much for a first season. And I agree with you, Jenny. This has been pretty crazy. And I wish that this episode had happened about 3 episodes ago, but I'm going to forgive it because this world is nuts. I do want to shout out that I loved when they were riding their motorcycles on the highway when they were just like going to that meeting. I just love it. I just want 10 minutes an episode of guys riding motorcycles. Now, there wasn't in this episode, there wasn't like an extraneous, huge like fight that happened for no reason. So that's good. But I'm happy. Okay. I mean, I'm sorry if the review was a little all over the place. But I kind of liked it that way. And I kind of feel the show is that way. You jump into one scene and they're tying something up and then it goes to the next scene and somebody kind of messes that up and then they fix it up and then they get into a different situation. It is just a big, crazy soap opera. And I really am thinking more and more that there is an inspiration here from the kind of the Telemundo soap operas, like the Spanish soap operas that they show. There's a word for that, and I'm forgetting it. I apologize. It's like a genre. But there's a feeling of that in the show that I think they're kind of putting into it, just in the same way as Sons of Anarchy had the Shakespearean thing, like this has too. But there was some sort of like a 70s Smokey and the Bear, biker, Hell's Angels inspiration behind Sons of Anarchy. I think the kind of the inspiration here are these stories, right? And these soap opera stories. And I'm digging it. We got one episode left. I'm going to stay with Mayans Monday. So I'm going to check out the final episode of Mayans next Monday. Hopefully Jenny, it'll give you time to write in too. And talk about kind of overall season as well when we get there. But I like this show. It's fun. It is crazy. I know a lot of people are watching it, but I don't know that it's still that it, we're going to have to see in between season one or two, how this plays on the streaming services and how into it people are going to get. Because I do feel like Sons of Anarchy was more accessible only because it was so much slower in introducing you to the characters, you know, and you had a chance to really feel Jax before he was put in a situation with Clay. And this one, you're jumping right in. So let's see. That was a fun one. Thanks for your feedback, Jenny. And hey, thanks everybody for listening to the show. Another quick shout out to cufflinks.com. I'm really super excited that I got this presenting sponsor. They're going to be with us, hopefully for a long run. I really love them. And I appreciate their faith in the podcast as well as all you listeners. It wouldn't have been possible unless I had so many people listening and responding and communicating with me. And go out and give me a review. Give me an iTunes review or whatever we're on. I do appreciate it. Also, of course, check us out at dvrpodcast.com. Email me, dvrpodcast@gmail.com. I'll be back tomorrow on the Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/DVR. Going to be talking about how you can start a podcast, how I started podcasting. Andy had a good question there, and I figured it'd be fun to get into it. So until then, if I don't see you until Wednesday, I'll see you on Wednesday. If not, I'll see you tomorrow. Peace out.